From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 20th day of May, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo, GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, and Eric Snodgrass will join us from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible to take up the weather forecast on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. July corn settled today at $7.78¾. It was down 4.5 cents on the afternoon. December 7.32, 4 lower. July beans were up 14¾. Their settlement price at $17.05¼. New crop November up 7¼ cents at $15.21¾ per bushel. Bean meal futures up $4.60. The bean oil $1.40 higher. Wheat futures for the July soft red down 31¾ in that harvest month at $11.68¾. The hard red, $12.52¾, down 42¾ cents. Live cattle futures, 47.5 cents lower at $131.55. Feeders at $163.92½, down $1.27½. And lean hogs were up $2.25. They finished at $109 even. Crude oil at $110.35 a barrel, about 46 cents higher. Diesel fuel down 4.5 cents at $3.62. And the gasoline at 368¼, just about 0.8 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 30,687, up 515 points. Mike Zuzlo, GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us now to talk about the marketplace. Hey, something that was mentioned in Commodity Week yesterday when we recorded, and some folks will hear this afternoon on our home station and over the weekend on many of these stations, are the seasonals that sometimes at this time of the year tend to turn lower. And then the other thing I think that has me a little worried about the marketplace is periodically, the brokers that I talk to on Commodity Week will be bearish one week, bullish the next, and bearish and then bullish. And when that happens, usually something's about to turn. Is this sense that I'm having accurate in any form?
I think it's really valid, Todd. And I can say that from a standpoint of not just the seasonals, which are very hard nowadays to make sense of because of the new types of trading fundamentals and the funds that we have. But if you think about India's wheat export ban, Mexico's import duty relaxation, France's drought continuing in almost half of its major crop belt, which would include the wheat, not just the corn, crop conditions for winter wheat going down 2 points, those crop conditions being validated by a Kansas wheat tour that took production down to 260 million bushels, which is roughly 10, 11 million less than USDA's report. So we confirmed USDA's low number. Then that was in the wheat quality tour. And then you think about the spring wheat planting. I mean, you talk about corn being hit with, you know, planting delays. Spring wheat is in kind of the gutter at this point, 39% versus 83% last year, Minnesota 5, North Dakota 17. And then you throw on top of that the second crop corn in Brazil, which has re-entered the news earlier this week. And then you throw on top of that the three-day holiday coming up. I was telling clients Tuesday that I really felt like we could rally and the funds would buy into this market more, both in terms of inflation not going away and all these supply-led fundamentals, which breed more inflation. This thing could go all the way into the three-day holiday in terms of rally and be ready to start your hedging program as we get ready for Memorial Day. And so the fact that that didn't happen, and it seems as though the stock market and the commodity markets are starting to play more of a similar piece of music, is worrying and is troubling, and the charts showed it after today's close.
How did they show it?
Well, big thing that I saw was not only did we take the wheat corn spread from 476¾ 3 days ago down to 391, so we lost about 85 cents in the wheat corn spread, but that in turn then pushed us down into a level where corn taking in and making a new 5-week low, thanks to being pulled down by wheat, opens up the fact that we lost a trend line support driven off the January lows. And then we filled the wheat gap as well by Friday's close. These technical indicators kind of stimulated, in my opinion, a sell signal on the oscillators. And so the idea is, again, like I said a minute ago, if you latch together the equities markets breaking and now going into bear market territory in the S&P 500, next support is about 20% below the market in terms of the equities, S&P 500. You're opening yourself up technically if these two are joined to the hip to, you know, an 8-15% correction potentially.
Are they usually joined?
They are not, but I think the thing that drew my attention to this, Todd, was the idea that the consumer staples were the biggest loser so far this month, down about 10% on the month as far as the stock market. And the only thing that helps me explain today's close on Friday and everything since the middle of the week is that Target's earnings, Walmart's earnings, McDonald's earnings, John Deere's earnings, anything that had to do with agriculture seemed to be, and food seemed to be hit extremely hard, that we are really hurting the demand. And so where do you link the stock market and the grains, a recession fear and a loss of demand? And I think they're doing it early. I think they're doing it prematurely. But again, I don't want to fight the charts too much here, even with these fundamentals still looking very favorable.
This is consumer driven in that case from the food side.
Very much so. And I think that's where the energy data did not help us. It actually hurt us with the unleaded stocks, declining even more. That's actually turning into more of a bearish scenario for the ethanol demand. It's just one of those things where I don't want to jump off the deep diving board and say it's over, because I don't think anybody really can. I certainly cannot. But I think the thing that at the end of this week, and I'm going to talk to clients about this weekend, is the best high frequency indicator we have to communicate to the Federal Reserve is the stock market. That's where you get that term, the Fed put. You know, where's the Fed going to come in and give the equities markets a put? And I think the equities markets is signaling very strongly to the Fed, don't raise rates too quickly. This is the wrong thing to do, which I sincerely agree with, because as we've talked about, this is cost push inflation, not demand pull.
Next week is important.
Next week's important. Friday afternoon is important with the cattle and feed. It's very important for the cattle market. We'll see what the placements data says. But yeah, next week's very important when it comes to rebuilding the charts, especially in light of the holiday coming up.
But your gut feeling telling you will happen next week.
I have no guts left, Todd.
I know. It's really hard, Mike.
No, I left my guts at the door about 10 years ago, and I just do research, because that way if I'm wrong, I can figure out why. If I'm right, I can figure out why and just keep on track that way. But the guts are of no use anymore to me.
Sounds like a safe way to go. Thank you. I appreciate all the work that you do and all the research you put in.
You bet, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzalo. He's with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Let's turn our attention to the weather forecast now. Eric Snodgrass is here from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hi, Eric. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, happy Friday to you as well.
Here in the near term, is there anything we need to be keeping track of?
Yeah, you know, this is the beginning of a weekend that's going to have a lot of change to it. And we, as of late, have been quite warm, and we spent most of the last week dry, right? I mean, we just had some recent thunderstorms here at the end of the week. But here in Illinois, we had some wide open planting windows, and it was so great to be able to drive around and see some of the corn coming up. So it's good to get that early heat on the crop, but it's now about to get a big drink. So here's the things I'm watching. Right now to our west, there is a pretty sizable cold front marching its way toward us. It's going to get here by the end of the weekend. It's so cold, by the way. I'm not sure if you saw this in the news, but Colorado, like the front range, not just the mountains, but the high plains, some places might be getting a foot of snow out of this. Where there's farmland. Okay, so that's how cold the air is on the backside. Frost event in the western and high plains, and as it comes through us, it's going to knock our temperatures back down. But we are not at risk of a frost here in Illinois. But that's going to take our temps back down, and unfortunately, the front that comes through is going to stall out. So we have multiple chances for getting rainfall over, well, starting today. We've already had some storms, and then going through Saturday, Sunday, all the way out to Monday and Tuesday of next week as the front kind of stalls out. So big change over the heat we've had, but a lot of rain coming in. What I hope is that we get that 1 to 1.5 inch range and not the 2.5 to 3.5 inch range, which is unfortunately possible with this. So I'll say this about the northern Corn Belt. The cold that's coming in is going to mean that even though it's going to be drier, they're not going to be up there planting much, given how Cold weather doesn't really dry out your soils too quickly, and the frost event's going to be pretty problematic for that as well. So Corn Belt's still struggling right now.
What about the month of June?
Yeah, we're knocking on the door of June, right? I mean, the near-term forecasts are already getting into June. And the good news is I see some heat coming back on. So anything we maybe left on the table with late planting, we're going to get in some decent, you know, warmer temperatures that are going to start to really, I think, just push this crop along relatively quickly as we get into June. But with that comes the risk, and we've talked about this a lot, you and I, you know, the risk of summer drought developing. The La Nina is still there. The cold water in the Gulf of Alaska is still there. And those are symptoms of what the atmosphere is doing. What I'm most concerned about is the Northwest. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Keep an eye on the northwestern United States. If they maintain their cool and wet bias, we will likely into June and July start to see above average temperatures and the risk of drought developing. That's something I'm very concerned about going forward. And I think we all need to be keeping an eye on it. Because right now things are good, but we just worry about where they could go in the longer term.
It's funny because they probably would like to maintain a little cool and wet bias in those parts of the world, but may not be so great for us. Anything when you look further out on the longer range forecasts?
Yeah, you know, CPC does a mid-month update on their long range forecasts. And so they just released that yesterday. So I spent a lot of time looking it over, and here's a couple things that I've noticed. One, they do have from the Midwest to the West, all the way to the Great Basin, you know, they've got above average temperatures for this upcoming summer. They are calling for the redevelopment of drought in the Western Corn Belt and throughout the plains. And again, a lot of what they're talking about is based off of where there currently is drought and the ocean temperature pattern like La Nina we've been discussing. The big question I have is, where in late June does the ridge set up? And I'll just give you these two ideas. If it sets up right along the Rocky Mountains, we will likely in the state of Illinois be stormy. Our neighbors to the west in Iowa to Nebraska will likely struggle with drought development. Now, if you move that ridge way far into the west, we're all in business. We're all going to have storms. But if you move it any farther east of there, let's say you move the ridge and have it set up from like Texas to North Dakota, then that's going to make some big problems for a lot of us in the early part of the summer. And NOAA's new long-range forecast suggests that could be the setup going into August. Now, I'm going to be honest, and this isn't a criticism on NOAA. NOAA is absolutely amazing. But I actually think we're going to see the ridge backing up west as we progress through summer, which is a good note overall for what I'm thinking is going to happen. So, yeah, we're watching a lot of moving pieces, but there still seems to be risk on the table for drought development across the Corn Belt this summer.
Speaking of drought, we probably should check in on the safrinha crop one last time.
Yeah, you know, it's here it is. We're approaching June, so they're going to start going into harvest on a lot of that safrinha crop, and it did finish under drier conditions. But lately, they've had quite a lot of cold air that's been in the southern part of Brazil's growing areas, where most of the safrinha corn is either in pollination or in the early stages of grain fill. Low temperatures in the last few days here have been down in the low 30s, low to mid 30s. I imagine there's been some frost, but it's hard to get a report out to see how much, if any, damage was done. But to have your overnight lows that cold could have been quite problematic, and it's now full-blown dry season, so the rain won't fall again for most of Brazil's growing area until September or October. So that's where they are in the season, and that's right. We don't really have to talk to them about them too much more as we go forward here.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Agrible joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written and performed by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.